The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. Monday, we made it. Hope your weekend was okay. And I do hope that you have been able to start preparing just a little bit. Things are going to get bad, whether it's World War III or just where we're headed. It's not going to be pleasant. And right now, I don't know how many families are actually able to survive. It's that difficult. Prices on everything. And I think there's a lot of gouging going on, as I've said. People who make food, produce food, are just taking advantage. I don't think their costs have gone up that much in many cases. They're just jumping on board. Let's double the price. Everybody else is. So anyhow, it's very difficult out there, and I hope all of you are beginning to make some progress to prepare. We have no national civil defense in these former United States of America. The government turned its back on us 50 years ago. We have no civil defense. I believe I'm correct in suggesting that the facts are that Moscow, for example, can literally put its entire population of Russian civilians in underground bunkers within 45 minutes. They have a ring of them all around the city. And that's quite an accomplishment. Again, and that's just one city. They have taken great care of their people for a long time. We have a government here that has done nothing but stab us in the back and slit our throats. We have nothing, nothing. So it's up to you to provide for your own civil defense. All right. Don Jeffries is with us tonight, as he is always Mondays. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing? You're right. That's a good way to put it. The government stabs us in the back and does nothing. And I've called our system socialism without benefits for a very long time. And that's what we have. We have socialism without benefits. We have
go a little further than that. How about communism without benefits?
Communism. Whatever you want to call it. Because the reason I say socialism is because
it's more PC. It gets more people listening.
There's so many programs they advertise that you'd think they're doing all this as a nanny state, and they're providing all these services, and maybe 90% of Martinique. But, you know, as someone who's been in the middle of that with my brother and one of my nieces as well, I can tell you that it's really hard to get anything out of this. They make you work for it, and the problem is that most of the people that need those services, like my brother and my niece, and lots of other people I know, are not capable of navigating on their own. They need somebody. Like, I was there for them, but a lot of people don't have anybody. And if they can, then they just don't get it. And I'm convinced that's why you see, along with mental illness and drug abuse, why you see so many people living on the street, because it's just too frustrating. Yeah, I mean, who do you call? I mean, you call, like, for instance, I found out with my brothers, this thing called the Americans with Disabilities Act. I think Ted Kennedy was instrumental in getting it passed. And people that haven't had experience with it think it's a great thing, and it sounds like, oh, cool, they're gonna. But it's first of all, there's no number for the Americans with Disability Act. It doesn't exist. It's just the title of a law, supposedly, that has no teeth. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when you try to get somebody, because they're supposed to accommodate people with disabilities in the workplace, well, they don't. And if you get fired, as my brother was once for that, you can talk. You just go to EEOC, legal service. You navigate these huge numbers of ABC bureaucrat alphabet agencies. None of them do anything. They reroute you from one to the other, and you just end up throwing up your hands in despair. So that's, I think that. But we pay for this. This is all budgeted out. It comes out of money. So that's why I say most people don't know. I think I pointed this out in Survival of the Riches, that we pay more in taxes for health care than Canada does with its universal care, or England. Think about that.
That's pretty disgusting. Think about this. We're the only Western major country, at least, that does not provide free health care for its citizens.
That's right.
We don't.
That's right.
Everybody else does. Now, I know there are a lot of complaints and people bitch about the NIH in England all the time, and Canada to a certain degree, but it could be made to work much better. It's a typical bureaucracy, but if you had the right guy or right gal at the helm, it could work fine, and it should. We earned, by our contributions to this country, we've earned free health care. We should get the best that somewhat checkered and often satanic industry has to offer. We should get it for free if we want it.
Exactly. We pay enough. We pay enough in tax, just like we pay enough in taxes to have the kind of infrastructure China has, or Japan has, or France has.
Right.
We have instead we have the kind of infrastructure that Venezuela has now. That's
not a joke, and getting worse all the time.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. So what do we pay? But
all right. I don't know. All right, here, I've got to do something here. I didn't want to do this, but I must. Did you get a chance to look at the time cue on the video I sent you? It was your program, I think, with Victor Hugo.
I remember, because he was mentioning, I guess it was who, I don't know, was it Susan?
Don't mention the name. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I don't know that person, but he mentions, and I know you came up, there were some claims or something about you, and I just listened to him. It was kind of
Your facial gesture told the story correctly. You were kind of incredulous. And this is out there now. It's getting pushed around, but it's not the first time. There have been many others over the years. Terrible things said about me, and I'm sure you've had your share, Don. And you just do. It goes with the territory. If you're trying to do something in a forthright way, an honorable way, you're going to get shot at, whether it's by the enemy or just by idiocy. Either way, it doesn't matter. Now, this is not, I don't think this was an intentional smear. I don't think that individual would do that. But, boy, did she misunderstand. Now, I wrote about this when it happened, shortly after it happened. April 24th, 2015. I need to tell this little story. I'm driving home to the studio to get ready for the program. It's about 6:25 in the evening. It's April, so the sun's up. It's still bright. I'm driving down a two-lane highway toward the studio, and I'm about a mile from my driveway. And I notice, this is a very busy two-lane highway. It's called a highway. And I noticed there was no traffic either in front of me or behind me, which I thought was odd. I did notice that. So I'm staring at the road, and the next thing I know, I'm doing about 65. I said in my mind, I could feel this urge. It said, you need to go to sleep right now. And it was odd. And I said, okay. And I just closed my eyes. I remember that, and that's all I remember. The car went off the road, next to the road, paralleling the road, right next to it was about a 5-foot-deep big irrigation drainage ditch. And the car went down in that ditch at 65, started breaking off smaller trees and brush. And then at around 60 miles an hour, the best I can figure, a driveway went across that ditch. It was a driveway with a culvert in it, solid dirt with a culvert in it. And the car, the front of the, I had a Land Cruiser. The Land Cruiser hit that culvert and it's like a little covered over driveway over the ditch. I mean, you got that? It's full of dirt and there's a culvert. So it hit that at 65 and the car immediately went up in the air and did a forward cartwheel. One and then two. I figured this out later, and then it turned to its side and started rolling over side over side over side, and every time it would roll over, I would hit my head behind my left ear on the driver's side window. Now, again, I figured this out later because I was absolutely oblivious to all of this going on. It was just like somebody threw a switch, and I then God knows where. I could tell you a long story about going into the light and all that, but which I did, but I'll just jump ahead to the hospital. I was taken to one hospital, and the damage to my head, was my brain, was so severe, they said, we can't handle this. You need to be transported or transport this person to the big hospital. So they took me to the big hospital, about 25 miles away. Now, 4.5 hours later, I had been in a coma this whole time. Out. 4.5 hours later, my eyes popped open, kind of like boing, and I'm not seeing the road anymore, which is the last thing I remember, looking at the road in front of me driving. I'm looking at a ceiling, and there are lights up above me on the ceiling, and I'm hearing a lot of strange noises. Everything's white, the walls are white, and I'm laying down on my back. I'm completely down on my back, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell happened? Where am I? And then I said, verbally, where am I? Real loud. And a nurse came over and put her hand on me and she said, Mr. Rentz, please don't move. You've been in a horrific car crash. You've been in a coma for the last about 4.5 hours. You're bleeding profusely and we're getting ready to go in and try and stop it. Now, this is overwhelming because the last thing I remember, I was driving and seeing the road in front of me. And no cars on it, but nonetheless, I'm driving. And now I'm looking at a ceiling and a nurse is saying, you're bleeding and we're going to go in and try and stop it. Well, I immediately started grabbing my legs and my chest and my arms. And then I said to the nurse, bleeding from what? And she said, in your brain. You have severe brain trauma and brain injuries. And at that point, I just got to a point of my thinking that I couldn't really talk. I just stopped talking. Thinking, trying to process all this. And I had a terrible headache. My left wrist was broken and so forth. And I then said to her, but you have to understand, it wasn't me talking. And some of you out there have had this experience where you'll talk, but you say, well, where did that come from? I didn't really mean to say that, but I did. Anyhow, my voice continued talking after I said, where am I and bleeding from what? And I said, it was me, my voice, but not Jeff talking. It was my voice. And my voice said, no surgery. And she said, Mr. Rentz, you don't understand. You could die at any moment. They're on the way to get you with the gurney to take you into surgery. And my voice said, it wasn't me. I am in full control of my faculties. I do not authorize surgery under any circumstances. Do you hear me? And this really freaked her out, and she backed way away from me. Now, remember, I'm laying on my back in ICU. That's where I was. And I looked at her, and I'm wondering where this voice activation came from, because it wasn't me talking. You can call it divine intervention. You can call it whatever you want, but it wasn't me. It was my voice. And I'm telling them, no surgery. I'm in super critical condition. And I looked at her, and I looked behind her, and on the wall right behind her was a box where you put x-rays, you hang them up, and you look at them. It's like a light box. And there were two black and white, I don't know, 12 by 18, they look like x-rays, hanging on this box. And it was of a human head, a skull, and you could see everything in the skull. You could see right through it. It was a CAT scan. We'll call it a CAT scan image. And I looked at it, and I said, in my voice, me, I said it, is that me? And she said, yes. And I said, is all of that white in my cranium, around my brain and through my brain, is that blood? And she said, now do you understand? And again, my voice, without me directing it in any way, said, no surgery. And at that point, she freaked out and walked out of the ICU, canceled the surgery. This is almost midnight. And there were two neurosurgeons there, and what they were going to do is cut off the top of my skull and start to try to repair the damage and cauterize my brain. Now, the next morning, I checked myself out against all medical advice, AMA they call it, and I took a cab home and continued working.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, now this person who talked to your guest had the story completely wrong. I don't know where it came from. I don't remember personally talking to this person about it. Maybe she saw what I'm describing that I have written up and put pictures. The whole thing is done in a pictorial display. I've written all the descriptions and everything. It's like a story. She maybe saw that. I don't know. But she said to your guest that I admitted to her that I had a brain chip, which allowed me to talk because I couldn't talk after having been in an accident, and that I was a member of the Illuminati.
Yes, yes. That was the highlight, yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I am not a member of the Illuminati, and I don't have a brain chip. And I can doubly say that because I looked at those pictures on the wall, and I have them, copies of those CAT scans of my brain, and you can see everything from the neck up. There are no chips in there. Some might say, wow, they're tiny, tiny. I don't know. There's no chip. Okay, anyway. I just was mind-boggled by this. Now, the woman sent me a very nice apology today. She said, I may have gone too far, and I shouldn't have said anything. You're damn right you shouldn't have. And here's the point. You didn't get it right. It's all wrong, and I wrote it up less than 3 weeks after it happened. This goes back to April 24th, 2015. So I'm not changing the story here. She heard it wrong. And for her or anyone to repeat something that they're not 100% certain about is not acceptable. Especially something like this, when you make an allegation that Jeff Rentz is a member of the Illuminati and he's controlled by brain chips. Now, I don't know where she got that, because she's an excellent researcher, and it was weird. So anyway, I just wanted to go through that. Now, to further clarify this, and there's much more to the story, but I'm going to post this. I've never formally posted it. I wrote it up, and I wrote it up for a reason. And I'm going to go to the first paragraph right now. It's just a little prelude, and it says, I never published it, but it was my intent at the time to go ahead and publish this. Jeff survives terrible crash on April 24th, 2015. Assassination attempt fails. I have decided to go public, I wrote, with this data because there are some trolls and shills who are suggesting the crash that should have ended my program was somehow a fake or very much exaggerated. I don't lose sleep over these kinds of people and their attempts to defame, demean, or smear me and my work. However, there are some good people who believe the often insidious trash that has been posted about me by MKUltra, mind-controlled assets, and other forms of low-life filth. I was not happy, so I put the whole story together with pictures. Anyway, that's how I started it, and I'll go ahead and post this just to set the record once again straight that it didn't happen the way that female told Victor Hugo, whoever the hell he is. I don't know.
Victor Hugo, okay. He's been on my show several. He's a very interesting guy. This guy, he seemed like a nice fellow.
I don't know. But
yeah,
I don't know
he's in exile. He's been all over. He was in China when COVID hit. He barely got out of the country, and he's living in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. This is a guy, he produced a film called Crackhead Jesus, and he was in Hollywood.
Crackhead what?
Crackhead Jesus, it's not what you think it would be, but it's about, he claims that a very prominent surgeon in Baltimore, and he names the guy, I can't remember his name, but he names the guy, he says it publicly, confessed to him that he was the serial killer, and that he killed patients all the time. And I don't know, I guess he was such an uproar, he had to flee. the country. But
he fled Georgia?
No, he fled the United States, and so he ended
up. Oh, and he went to Georgia. I got it.
Yeah, well, first he was in China. He was in Paris for a while. He's been on my show several times, and he's been in Georgia for a while now. But
they had a lot of trouble in Georgia, I think you know. Big riots and demonstrations, and president refuses to step down, and they're in big trouble.
Yeah, he's a very interesting character, and just the fact that that he's made this accusation about, and he's named him directly, and the guy never sued him or anything, because I think basically just said something like, "Go ahead, no one's going to believe you. You think they're going to believe you?" And he's right. I mean, so it's kind of spooky. Assuming I have no reason to doubt him, but if you know, just think of, I don't know, that might happen for all we know, you know, fairly frequently, where you know you could have somebody doing that who's a psychopath, and we know that doctors are one of the professions that draw people with psychopathic tendencies, and all the successful occupations do. And they could do that, and he's exactly right. No one would believe this if somebody said, "Hey, this guy confessed to me." Sure, right? Nobody's going to believe. So he's a very interesting guy. So that, I'm interested in knowing. What do you think? As far as if you saw the X-ray with all the white that showed the blood there, how do you account for you just being able to walk out of there? I mean, could that have just decided
on its
own?
I don't. That's a good question. I, by the way, in this story that I picture story I put together about the attempt to kill me, I have all of the CAT scans, as I mentioned. And I put one of them in there. The way a CAT scan works, it'll take pictures from the top of your head down, like slices of bread. You know, every half millimeter takes another image, another image, another image. So I grab one about 10 or 12 images down into my brain, and you can see in the CAT scan, hell, at least 50% of it is just full of blood. And people die of subdural hematoma, which is what they call it, if it's the size of a 25-cent piece. You can die from that. So, I mean, I was a dead man walking, and I was being directed to get no surgery and to leave that hospital. That was my prime directive. And I got up the next morning. I didn't sleep much and took a cab and went home. And that's another
amazing
story. I was locked out. I couldn't get in. So I had to get a ladder with a broken left hand and climb up the ladder with one hand, climb over a balcony and try to get in my sliding glass door, which I never locked, but it was locked. So anyway, it was fun. It's quite a story. And then I had another sort of a relapse, but it wasn't a cerebral relapse. I got the blood from my brain went down my spinal column, mixed up with the cerebral spinal fluid, CSF. And you don't want blood in your spinal column. It's one of the only places where blood is not welcome because it starts to destroy all of the nerves that come out of your spinal column that go to all the major organs in your body. The blood will do that because of your immune system. It doesn't recognize those nerves, starts to destroy them. Anyway, I almost died from that afterwards, so it's crazy. But there was divine help. I don't know how else to phrase it. Because talking during that part? I think it was that it wasn't my time, and they sent me back because I did go into the... I remember about a month or so later, it came back in little pieces what happened. I'm driving, and I went into the light.
So many people have said they see that. There's got to be something there,
all black, which I think means it wasn't my time, and I was put in some kind of a purgatory for several hours. It was just black, but I did go under the light, and I have a friend who has many connections in CIA and so forth, and he said they hit you with a beam weapon. They have these things. They've been around for a long time. And they were hidden up in front of you a couple hundred yards or whatever in the brush. And they just hit you in the head with a weapon and knocked you out at 65 miles an hour. And that's how people get killed.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. You were luckier than, remember the writer Jim Keith?
I had Jim on the program a week or two before they killed him.
Yeah. I mean, he fell off a stage and hurt his knee.
Yeah, at Burning Man. Broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And he said, "I don't want to go in to have him." They wanted to operate on his ankle, and he told his wife, he said, "If I go in there, I'm not coming out. I do not want to go in there." Your ankle's
so why
broken.
Did he go,
you have to.
So I mean, so he couldn't see.
He was in pain. He had broken his ankle.
Yeah, sure.
And he just acquiesced, and they killed him.
And then his publisher died not long after that either, I think. Under strain.
I don't know much
name?
About that. I've heard that, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it was. I wrote about this in, I think it was Hidden History, one of my books. But he and his wife went out to, I think, a Mexican restaurant or something. And he started feeling ill after he ate it. And they eventually went to the emergency room. And then she was waiting around. They came out and said he died. And she was like, what? And she couldn't believe it. And I can't remember the guy's name. Because I think, was it Steam Shovel Press that published him? I can't remember what it, but it was.
I think it was Steam Shovel Press. And I do remember the guy. And I think I had him on the program several times, but I can't remember his name.
You have had all these people on. It's amazing.
We had a lot of amazing programs. Just really, I was really blessed to have the opportunity to get to know all these people, learn from them. And, you know, in 31 plus years, you learn a lot. And you also forget a lot because it's just too much. So it gets crazy.
I think Jim Keith was the first one to popularize the black helicopters. Didn't he write a book,
Black Helicopters? Black Helicopters Over America was his book, one of his first book.
Yeah. So that's crazy stuff. But I didn't know what you thought of. I'm vacillating back and forth between, you know, I'm calling him Trumpenstein because of some of these awful picks he's made, but Trump is, you know, he's made some interesting picks here. You know, he picked somebody for, I think, NIH or something that is, Sherry Tenpenny's a huge fan of. She was talking to the guy, or I can't remember who was saying, because I think whoever it is has been on her show, and this person, you know, Trump picked him for a pretty big position, and he's picked a guy for the FCC who is supposedly on record as being, you know, Mr. Free Speech and anti-censorship. We'll see that. And then Kash Patel, you know, Patel as FBI director. I mean, what do you think of that? I mean, I don't, you know, it's like,
I don't know enough about him, but I've read a little bit, and he is very highly regarded by some good people as being law and order, make America safe again from the FBI, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think he may be the best choice so far.
And did you see the thing I sent you about Matt Gaetz? And I wrote a story about it. It's going to be in the American Free Press, the upcoming issue. But this is an incredible story. And Candace Owens did a lot of the work. She did it from somebody on Twitter named Mel or something, the crazy lady, or I forget what her handle is. But she did the research. But Candace Owens spread it with her huge audience. But this is incredible. I mean, this is a production. You've got to read it or look at it. I mean, there's so many. The entire thing was an extortion attempt on Gates's very wealthy father by this guy named Greenberg, who is a tax assessor in Florida, who I guess knew, you know, they were Florida politicians. He knew Gates to some degree. And Greenberg was the guy that was trafficking these girls, including the 17-year-old in question.
Oh my.
And when the feds got him, because he had all the evidence on his cell phone. So they were charging him with all these crimes, and he just did so many ridiculous things. But so he took Gates's, because Gates was a congressman, and he tried to throw him under the bus and say, well, you know, this guy's been going out with 17-year-olds. Girl too, to try to get his sentence reduced, and it was tied into a this guy Levinson, another, you know, another Irish fellow. These
people, and who was
who had been kidnapped, I think, kidnapped somewhere, and he was a former CIA, was doing work for the CIA, the former FBI man, and he was hooked up to Greenberg through this guy named McGee or something, who had worked with him or something. Anyhow, they were trying to get money to free this Levinson guy. And so they went to Gates's dad, and they threw this alleged thing with the 17-year-old girl at him. He, you know, Gates's father didn't know what they're talking about. What are you talking about? He said, we can make this go away for your son. Just give us $25 million so we can get this Levinson guy freed. And he said, what are you talking about? And the FBI had Gates's father he wore a wire. And that's when Matt Gaetz went on Tucker Carlson's show back in 2021 or whatever it was, he was so angry and he was telling that Tom, I want the FBI to play the tapes. You have the tapes. So they had the tapes where the extortion from this guy was recorded. And so he went, and the FBI wouldn't play it. And in fact, they leaked the story instead to the New York Times the next day, which ran a big story about Gaetz and a 17-year-old girl. So, I think that, this is Candace Owens, again, is just, she's turned into a remarkable journalist. But I can only imagine
what happened. May I say this? What happened to Candace is wonderful. She stepped into the truth and left all fear of embracing the truth and presenting the truth behind her. She walked into the light.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
She really did. I mean, I could have never foreseen somebody like her. She was, just pretty much I thought she's basically a DEI project for the conservatives, that they're embracing her. She's a black woman. Very well spoken. This is a great look for them. They can look diverse or whatever. She seemed harmless to me for a long time. I mean, she was okay on the culture, like a lot of these guys are. But that guy Ben Shapiro, who is a real cretin, this guy is just as bad as it comes.
He's awful.
Yeah,
awful.
And he just pissed her off when he fired her, and I guess he kept sniping at her or whatever, and she kept sniping back, which he didn't like.
Yeah, no.
And she just took it so personally that, suddenly now she's talking about, she's on the verge of talking about the Holocaust. I expect her to do that next because she's hinted at it.
Well, all she has to do, if she wants, excuse the interruption, but if she wants to talk about the Holocaust, all she has to do is stand on the facts. And the facts do not sustain it. There's no factual data to sustain it except anecdotal stuff from Elie Wiesel, whom a fellow Auschwitz inmate, prisoner, said was not the same Elie Wiesel he knew at Auschwitz. This new guy is not the same guy.
Right.
So,
well, there's obviously so many inconsistencies there.
Anything's possible.
I think that if somebody like, if she did, because she's right at the edge of that, because she's talked a lot about.
That's a logical next step. I hope she does, because it's time. It's time.
Yeah, because
go to the Red Cross. If anybody doesn't have any, go do the Red Cross thing. Tell them.
Yes.
Tell them
what's
Red Cross. 1947.
They did a survey of. They were the official, I guess, survey of.
They had offices at Auschwitz, the Red Cross. Okay.
Yes, and they
in the camp.
How many deaths was it from all causes? It was in fractions.
200, less than 300,000. It's 275 is what I usually say. During the whole war, all the labor camps, which is what they were.
Exactly.
Anyway. Oh, and by the way, I had another story I posted last week. There were hundreds of births at the camp by Jewish women. And no, they weren't not all raped by the Germans. They were pregnant when they got there, or they got pregnant when they were there. They get around, people do things. And there were hundreds of babies born there of Jewish women at Auschwitz.
It's something that where I don't know whether I don't know that the Holocaust was certainly was referred to the Holocaust as capital H before that.
No, not until the 60s. I think it was the first time was the 60s.
Yeah, well, you had the Eichmann case where they kidnapped him and took him to Israel, which somehow was okay. And I don't know that much about that, but I do know that. And again, I don't even like to get too mired in it, but I do know that if this was the. Because basically they've tried to make this the central reason for when you talk about World War II now, it's the Holocaust. That's it. Just like slavery is the Civil War. So nothing else matters. It's all secondary. It's all built around that. But if that's the case, then you had Dwight Eisenhower, who wrote his memoirs of serving as the Allied commander in World War II. He never mentioned anything about the German extermination camps. There was nothing, not a word. And Winston Churchill.
You mean his German extermination camps?
Yeah, no, he's about Germany.
No, you're talking about the labor camps. Yes, of course not.
I mean, he,
and then
he
what he did after the war was beyond satanic, beyond evil, the blackest evil.
Yes, Operation Keelhole, absolutely, yeah. But he never mentioned what we're told is the main primary reason for World War II. He didn't mention it, and neither did Winston Churchill. in his multi-volume work, never mentioned it. How do you possibly do that?
Because it didn't happen.
What are we supposed to think? Turn off our critical faculty? So, but it's an emotional issue, and it gets involved.
Oh, the people behind it, Don, know how to play emotions better than anybody. Let me tell you this: a Jewish journalist named David Cole. Do you know this story?
Yes, about the
David Cole.
Auschwitz. Yeah,
he interviewed Dr. Franzicek Piper, P-E-I-P-E-R, the director of the Auschwitz State Museum in Poland for 17 years. David Cole, Jewish journalist, interviewed him. I don't think the video is still online. I've seen it many times. I had David Cole on this program as a guest, and he told the whole story. And David interviewed Franzicek Piper, and Piper said the gas chamber at Auschwitz was created, modified, after the war, under orders of Stalin, to continue to blame the Germans and keeping the world focused on evil Germany and evil Adolf Hitler. It's a fraud, according to the director of the Auschwitz State Museum for 17 years.
Absolutely. And I believe the Spotlight was the first one back in the day. The Spotlight was the first one.
Bless the Spotlight. Great old paper. Wow.
Yeah, they were. And of course, I'm writing for the American Free Press now, which is what the Spotlight became after they were driven into bankruptcy by the Anti-Defamation League. But I mean, this, you know, if you talk, I mean, I wrote about a lot more about the Morgenthau Plan and in the new book, American Memory Hole. But people don't realize that. Okay, let's assume that the Germans did want to exterminate Jews. I mean, hypothetically, let's say that really is true, that they were doing that. Well, we have more documentation on paper anyhow for the American plan under, for some reason, Treasury Secretary, Henry Morgenthau, I think his name was. Why the Treasury Secretary was involved, that seems outside of his purview, but he had developed something called the Morgenthau Plan, which is basically this maniacal plan to wipe out Germany. He wanted to mess with their agriculture. He wanted to exterminate every man, woman, and child. He didn't build gas chambers or anything, but that was
Let me add to that. I got perfect blend here for you. Morgenthau and Eisenhower together were working on this scheme to destroy what was left of Germany after the war. Eisenhower presided over the death of at least a million young men, older men who were in the Wehrmacht at the end of the war. He put them in outside, no shelter, barbed wire enclosures, and watched them die. Starvation, disease. And I've written about memoirs I've read of American servicemen who had to guard these death camps, Eisenhower's death camps. And if you want to read about it, the book is Other Losses by James Bach, B-A-C-Q-U-E, Other Losses. Between 1945, one last thing, and 1953, it is estimated that up to 15 million of the most patriotic Germans who survived the war were killed, murdered, and done away with to do exactly what you just said. Morgenthau's plan to destroy what was left of Germany. Precisely.
Exactly. Yeah, so my point is, even if you hypothetically, now we know there are obviously lots of problems with the Holocaust story. I mean, there are problems with everything about all wars, but World War II is full of holes. I mean, I write about this all the time. They don't tell the truth about stuff. They exaggerate things, maybe make up things. Even if we assume the entire thing, the 6 million Jews exterminated, that this was true, and the color-coded triangles and all this kind of Hollywood aspects of it, even if we assume that's all true, then it still wouldn't excuse what we did in terms of developing. If we were so against extermination, why were we trying to exterminate the Germans under the Morgenthau Plan? And why did Eisenhower, who was apparently, I guess you'd call him a self-hating German, who was involved with this as well in Operation Keel Haul, where you're right, they did march at least 1 million people to their death. And even if that's true, what was the old expression? It used to be two wrongs don't make a right. And of course, we know that there's lots of questions about the Holocaust, to say the least. But that, for some reason, people don't focus on that. And they think that's okay. And they gloss that over. It's like, well, no, that's not. And if you I have it all in American Memory Hall. I can't remember the guy's name. now, but it's only been about 15 years ago where he wrote a book, and it's one of the most diabolical books ever written. I remember he got on C-SPAN. I can't get on C-SPAN with my books, but this guy got on there, where he basically blamed every single German, including children, for the Holocaust, and said they didn't deserve to live. He had a major publisher. It was published sometime in the early 2000s, I want to say. And I wish I don't have it in front of me.
But you know, there are a hell of a lot of Jews right now who are saying the same thing about the Palestinian people.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly the attitude you get when you see. I forget where I saw it. I think it was on one of the alternative channels where apparently there's a thing now where rich Jews in Israel because in Israel a lot of people, maybe a majority, don't approve of what's being done to the Palestinians. But the ones that do, the supporters of Netanyahu, or whatever, they have a thing where it's like a sabbatical they take where they can go pay a lot of money to get a bird's eye view of the bombing or something. I forget what they call it, but it's really sickening. It's kind of like how, you know, in America they used to go take a picnic lunch and watch a public hanging. You know, you don't understand why human.
It's true. Well, let's go back to France and the revolution. And the guillotine, come on, it was a big public event. It was like going to a sporting event.
Yeah, and if they brought it back today, it certainly would be.
Oh, and by the way, it's now known that the heads of those people who were guillotined often were still conscious for 4 to 5 minutes afterwards.
Oh, God.
Their heads were being held up and shown to the crowd, and they weren't.
I know, they put them on sticks and stuff. Yeah.
No, it's just
or whatever.
So much for civilization, huh?
Yeah,
oh,
so
let me
much,
say
maybe.
This. Ken Thomas was the founder of Steam.
Ken
and
Thomas,
Press,
that's it. That's
and I had
guy,
Ken
yeah,
on,
yeah.
And yes, on the program too. Great guy. These are good the people. Guy, these are really brave people because they were alone. Yeah. They didn't have a big support base like hopefully we do now. Many people want the truth. Back then they were shocked by this. Anyway,
oh, yeah. You didn't have,
Gary Webb was
then,
killed. Jim Keith was killed. Ken Thomas died under strange circumstances, I think. A lot of people. And anyhow, I will put
Stanley Meyer, the car that ran on cannon, the car that went, ran on water. I talked about him in history. I tried to his twin brother, forget his name. I think he's still alive. They were twins. So
yes, his brother.
He didn't do much of the work.
Right.
But I haven't been able to find him anywhere. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But he's probably, you know. I guess doesn't want to talk after what happened to his brother. But he, very much like Ken Thomas, he was at a restaurant and just kind of went out in the parking lot and was sick and, you know, basically dropped dead. It's like, what? Really?
He dropped dead in front of the restaurant he had just eaten in his favorite restaurant in his little hometown. He fell dead in the parking lot, or nearly dead, and died.
Yeah.
This is Stanley. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have him on the show, did you? You seem to have all these guys.
No, he died. He was dead.
Yeah, I guess before that.
It's called cracking H2O hydrogen. There's more to it than that, but it worked. And the day before Stanley Meyer was murdered, several generals, two generals and mm-hmm, several other mm-hmm. people came to meet with him at his lab and so forth and said, we want this technology to run our armor, our heavy trucks, all of our things that have engines. We just use water. So that was great, and he showed them how it could be done, and the next day he was dead. The day after.
Yeah.
I'm going to post that story about the assassination attempt on me from April 24, 2015. I'll put it up at the very top of headlines here in about 20 minutes or so, and I wrote this about a couple months afterward. Not long. A couple months. Anyway, it's quite a story, and it's all true, and you can take a look at the CAT scan of my skull, my head, and see the damage, see all the white is all blood. And if you know any neurosurgeons or doctors, you ask them, how serious is that, just for kicks? Yeah. It's bad.
This guy walked out of the hospital. Well, that's amazing, Jeff. That's an amazing story. I don't know what to think of it, the part where you were able to walk out or whatever. But
mind over matter, I guess, you know. But I just knew I had work to do, and I had to get back to work, and that was Sunday. I think I went home on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday? Saturday? Anyway, Saturday or Sunday. And I was on the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I have no recollection of any of it. I was out of it. Believe me.
Well, it
my head hurt so
like
badly. Oh.
It anyhow. Sounds like they were coming after you, and they certainly, as we mentioned, some of those other people, they do come after people. Now, well, there's another free energy guy that have you heard of Joe Newman?
Sure.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, if you had him on the show, because there is a guy I contacted his people once, and
he's dead too, isn't he?
He was alive as of a few years ago. I don't know. If
oh, good.
But this
good.
Is. But I don't know now, but I know this is a guy, for those people who don't know, and again, the spotlight, I only knew about them because of them, him because of them.
Uh-huh.
They interviewed
uh-huh.
him and talked about him. He had something much more significant than Myers. Myers was great, but Newman had invented some kind of device that had been tested. He had exhibited at the Capitol Center over here in Newman, which is a huge venue, till they shut it down. Lots of thousands of people went and saw it. The FDA couldn't find anything wrong with it, but they wouldn't grant him a patent because it said scientifically impossible.
No,
basically,
of course.
Perpetual motion machine, basically, where it was an output of energy without any input. And he claimed that you could take one of his little devices and stick it on your car, pay, I don't know, at that time, maybe $100, and the car would run forever. And you could stick a bigger device inside your home for, like, you know, yeah. I don't know, couple hundred, however much more money,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it would provide unlimited power. And just imagine how that would revolutionize
Newman.
Arson.
Can't remember,
Newman.
But I think I did have
yeah.
him on. Then there were two Australian scientists who developed a magnetic engine that would generate endless energy from magnets, magnetically derived energy.
It? So yeah. if the Department of Energy served any purpose, I don't think it does. I mean, I think it's one of many departments that should be abolished. But if you go back to Jimmy Carter's last days as president, he was talking about alternative forms of energy, and we need to do this. So we really haven't progressed since then. So that Department of Energy, if it served any purpose, it should have been to study and try to develop things like that from Newman and the guys you're talking about, maybe from Australia, Stanley Meyer, instead of killing them. But obviously, they never did, because we know Nikola Tesla claimed that he had developed free energy for all, you know, a century ago. And John Trump, Donald Trump's uncle, was sent by the government to confiscate his papers, and they've never been seen since. So whatever he was working on, mm-hmm. but just imagine, I tell people all the time, you don't think
take
it's
a
conspiracy.
Look at this strange device that I'm holding in my hand.
If you really think the gas companies, the utility companies, you really think that they would, what would that do? I mean, that would obviously it would make things much better for the average person, but that would involve, in the case of the oil companies, trillions of dollars in profit every year. And so you can't have that. And but it's a shame, because these inventors are out there, and I've written about a lot. I mean, they've existed. There was a guy named Keeley back in the late 1800s, I think it was, that had supposedly, out of Pennsylvania, that had developed what they called a perpetual motion machine. And, you know, I don't know what happened to him, but power is aligned against these people. You know, there was a guy in the 1920s. My parents used to talk about it. He was kind of like Stanley Meyer, where he uh-huh. And if you remember that show One Step Beyond, which was kind of
yes.
like Twilight Zone. But
yes.
it was supposedly all based on true stories. And I've never been able to find that episode, but I remember being fascinated when I was a little kid, where he supposedly had developed something where I think it was either water you put a little pill in water or something, some kind of capsule he had invented in water, and put it mm-hmm. in your car, and it ran instead of gas. And so he went to a meeting with some people that, you know, we're interested, obviously, in his product, and he disappeared. He was never seen again. They searched the world for him. They never found him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember his name, but if you watch One Step Beyond, there's an episode devoted to it. But so
yeah.
there's a history of this. You know, they don't.
Oh, it's so easy to make people disappear, Don. It is. It's not hard.
Yeah.
I think that the inventor in Australia, one was named John Christie, and I can't remember the other guy's name. John Christie passed away at 80-something, but I think he was one of them. He was working with magnets and had an engine. He said, this engine will power your whole home, no problem.
Yeah,
they actually were on the program several times. He says, we are going to give you the first model produced and available in the United States for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very nice, and they They were blocked. They got nailed. You know, they interference from government agencies, all kinds of things.
Just imagine what kind of profits it would interfere with. And again, it's like they don't. This is why nothing good ever happens for the benefit of the people, because they do. People think the technology is there. Not there. It is. And it's been there for over a century because Nikola Tesla knew about it. And people since then have talked about it. There's no reason in the world why we're paying the kind of prices that we pay for electricity.
No, it's all organized extortion, all of it. It's terrible what they do. We're really captives on our own planet. And it's not the Irishmen. It's not the Hindus. Is a certain group of people. It's the same old group. They run the planet, by and large. Yeah. And don't underestimate that. And now with AI, their job of subverting all of us and really stomping on us is easy. AI makes it easy, and they're right in it. Make no mistake about that.
We come full circle. Socialism without services. So that's I think that kind of plays in there. They don't want the people to have better things or advanced technology. That's for sure.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Thank you. Always great to talk with you, Don. I didn't mean to take up so much time at the beginning of the hour, but it was on kind of your program that people are passing it around.
Oh, yeah, and I apologize for any confusion I might have caused. I was a fascinating
you didn't
story
do
to me, and
I thought,
you know, I said, I can't believe Jeff confessed to being a member of the Illuminati.
No. Why in the world would anybody who was actually involved with the Illuminati and admit it?
Yeah.
For God's sakes, come on. That's just
exactly.
She just got the story all wrong. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow. Thank you, my friend. You be safe out there. Talk to you next week.
Take
care. Good night. Okay, that's hour one. And I will put this up. I've never done it. It's been 9 years almost. Actually, a little more. But I will now, just to keep the waters clear. Back in a few. Hang on.